Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and live from Baker Mayfield's Magic Carpet, it's the Fourth and Inches show with Jana and the Sherpa. Jana, happy playoff season and holiday season.
Here we are. The playoffs really are our true holidays.
So how did your teams fare?
Well, obviously, the one in the 32-team league that we've both talked about did not make the playoffs.
No.
I had one other miss the playoffs, so 4 out of 6 are going, which I'll take that.
Oh,
how about you?
That's quite good. 2 out of 4, the 32-team league, I missed the playoffs with an 8-5 record. I lost on the 6th and final spot on a tiebreaker, but I lost anyway since I had, Jonathan Taylor on bye in week 14 and, Jahan Watson on bye. And so that wouldn't have been pretty. But and then the other team that I had that didn't make the playoffs, it was just stupidity on my part. I forgot to sub in Mike Williams for Michael Gallup. So that cost me a game. And then earlier this season when Devontae Adams came off an injury, I forgot to sub him in for, Chase Claypool or somebody. So I really kind of did it to myself in that league and cost myself 2 wins. So I finished 6-8 and missed, but it's a dynasty league, so I'm okay. I'll just have a higher draft pick. But and then the two teams that I did get in, I have a second seed in a 12-team, no, a third seed in a 12-team league and a second seed in a 14-team league. So the second seeded team has to play this, has a bye this weekend. The third seeded team does not. But so anyway, that's a long-winded way of saying good.
Things are going well.
Simpler, more forthright response. Yes, they are. I'm happy.
That's okay.
And Blue
that's
is
all
really
we're
happy
for.
About the Lions. He wants
As
me to go out and get
be.
A big lion, one of those oversized Lions hats, Brian Robinson.
I wholeheartedly support
the
that. Yes, that's what we should be doing. That's Blue, he's onto something. He's a smart cat, that guy.
He is. Yeah. The Blue Cat team is doing well. But
yeah.
We'll see.
Here's hoping. So. Here's hoping it stays that way. I'm loving Motor City Dan Campbell and all the chaos out there. But we're also hoping that all of your teams are in the playoffs, or at the very least, we can somehow help you exact revenge or give you some daily fantasy picks. We've done everything for you. Should you just want to win an argument at the water cooler, we've got it covered. We're going to take you through all the injuries, news and notes. Thank God nobody's on a bye this week. We're finally through that. We do, of course, have Saturday games this week, so don't forget to set your lineups earlier. But we'll give you who to start, who to sit, take you some winners, some daily fantasy options, waiver wire pickups, everything you need to guide your team in whatever form it looks like to victory this week. As always, you can find us anywhere you find your favorite podcast. If you tune in late, you're listening later, you need someone to keep you company in the car while you're commuting home, whatever works, we're available. We are well north of 200 episodes. There's plenty of content out there. And you can, of course, we'll be here for you for a full hour as we are every Wednesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us all over social media. We're on Facebook at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page. We're on Twitter at the number 4 THN Inches Show. It's the number 4 THN Inches Show. We're also at JKIM16 and Fantasy_Sherpa. And you can always email us at the number 4 THN Inches Show at gmail.com. And I guess we will dive into the injuries. Unfortunately, it's going down. But before we get into that, I do want to ask you, how did you feel about Baker Mayfield showing up and just essentially winning a football game when he knew no plays and no one on that roster? That was kind of fun to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, for all the ups and downs the last couple of years, obviously downs, it was nice to see him.
Yeah.
Duke Johnson may not have been a fan, but a lot of other people, I think, can appreciate a good comeback story. And obviously he's not going to unseat Matthew Stafford there, but I still think there are a number of NFL teams, where he'd represent an upgrade over their current starting quarterback, not including my Giants, of course, but they may still be in the market for a new quarterback next year, but it won't be Baker Mayfield.
No, no. I hope you keep Daniel Jones. But and also, always very important, how many teams are currently in your top five draft picks? Are we up to like 12, 15
I think
yet?
I narrowed it down to 17 this week.
Okay, that's not bad. We're right on schedule. All right, so we'll dive into some injuries since there were, unfortunately, a few. We'll start in Arizona, where probably the biggest name this weekend, Kyler Murray, well, Monday, not really this weekend. Monday night, third play of the game, Kyler Murray tore his ACL. He's officially on IR and done for the year and at least a portion of next season. Colt McCoy got banged around a little bit, but it looks like he's going to be your starter this week. Wide receiver Rondale Moore also went on IR today. He is dealing with a groin injury. They were hoping he was going to come back, but it looks like that is not going to be the case. They are, however, going to get a couple of guys back on defense. Maybe not this week. They're trying to get someone out there, but the defense is getting a little healthier. The offense, not so much. And also, just for those of you keeping score at home in your Dynasty League, Zach Ertz did officially confirm that his knee injury was both his ACL and MCL, which kind of we all thought, but he's officially saying it, so unfortunately he's going to make the recovery time potentially a little bit longer. The Falcons are also going to be without their quarterback for the remainder of the year. Marcus Mariota had knee surgery. He's officially on IR and officially done for the year. They are getting their starting center back. Matt Hennessy is coming off IR, but they don't really have a quarterback. Things aren't going so great out in Atlanta. I think you can all follow along at home and guess I'm probably not picking them to win yet again this week. In more quarterback.
Every week, regardless of who their starting quarterback is.
It's only like a 3-year streak. We'll see if they can recover next year. I'm thinking not. But the Ravens also dealing with some quarterback issues. We saw Lamar Jackson didn't play last week with the knee injury. He's still not practicing. Doesn't look like they're planning on having him play this week, but you never know. That could change as the week goes on. However, Tyler Huntley was knocked out of the game with a concussion. He was a full participant at practice today, so he is, I guess, officially going to be out of the concussion protocol tomorrow. He should be your starter come this weekend, barring some kind of setback. They're also dealing with a couple of offensive line injuries, which probably part of the reason that Tyler Huntley is concussed, and they're dealing with some quarterback injuries. So hopefully guys get a little closer to healthy as the week goes on, but it's worth keeping an eye on that. Out in Buffalo, I don't know if you've heard, but it's cold out there. It's probably going to be snowing for the game this week. The Dolphins aren't going to be excited. But the Bills, probably unfazed. We did see Jamison Crowder back at practice today. He's on injured reserve right now with the ankle injury. He's not officially designated to return maybe next week. So if for some reason you have him stashed on team, hang on to him, I guess. Other than that, the Bills are pretty healthy.
Today.
What'd you say?
Was Cole Beasley at practice today?
Cole Beasley was at practice because he is out of retirement for the second time this season. He's back. The sunshine hair is flowing out of the helmet. Why of all the wide receivers out there, that's what you went with? I'm not really sure, but props to them. However, that is one less team in the Odell Beckham Jr. sweepstakes, it looks like. So sounds like he's off their list. Not off the Cowboys, though. We'll get to that in a minute. The Panthers are, yeah, T.Y. Hilton's there, but Jerry came out today on his radio show, still not totally decided on Odell Beckham Jr., so maybe it's a
he's
weekly
just
thing.
Trying to drive up the price for somebody else.
Deciding a new, I know. Already hosted all the league meetings today. Like, we all know he runs the league. Relax, Jerry. Just calm down. It was nice of him to find time to still have a radio show while he's also attending league meetings and trying to overthrow Dan Snyder. He had a busy day. Really busy day.
Busy life.
More quarterback news in Carolina. T.J. Walker, XFL phenom, is going to be the starter this week. He's been dealing with the ankle injury. Sam Darnold hasn't been that great. Baker Mayfield blew town and is now an all-everything quarterback in Los Angeles. T.J. Walker has been dealing with the ankle injury, but it looks like he is going to be out on the field and your starter, and hopefully that way going forward. Some continuity would be nice. They're dealing with a lot of injuries.
Probably end the game in a Walker.
He might. The way things are going. not a really good time to be a quarterback in the NFL. Dangerous out there. Speaking of that, segue into yet another quarterback issue. Justin Fields is not practicing. He's got the flu, so he should play this week, but he's not going to practice a whole lot. Wide receiver Chase Claypool, also not practicing. He's dealing with a knee injury, and running back Khalil Herbert is expected to come back to practice at some point this week and play next week. Not this week, but it looks like next week against the Bills, they're going to try to get him back on the field. He's on IR with hip injury. Other than that, not a whole lot of new injuries to report, which is good because they got the Eagles coming to town, which should be a handful, unfortunately, for those of us as fans of other NFC East teams. In Cincinnati, wide receivers, tough time to be them. Tyler Boyd is knocked out of the game. He's dealing with a finger injury. He was limited today at practice. T. Higgins, who also left the game, was limited at practice. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. It looks like he's more questionable than Tyler Boyd is. I can't imagine it feels all that good to catch a frozen football when you've got a bad finger, though. And it looks like Hayden Hurst, the tight end who's been dealing with a calf injury that's been dogging him the last couple weeks, it's pretty doubtful he's going to play this week. Officially, he's still open to playing, but it doesn't sound like, unless he gets some kind of magical recovery between now and then. It doesn't look like Hayden Hurst is going to be on the field, so don't start him in your lineup. Other tight end issues in the middle of the country here. We've got the Browns. David Njoku was limited practice day, which is a better sign. He's dealing with a knee injury. He's officially questionable going into the weekend, and they are dealing with some injuries to other receivers, particularly Amari Cooper. He did not practice. He's dealing with a hip injury. Keep an eye on that as the week goes on. He got banged up a little bit towards the end of the game, and it looks like it's still bothering him. And further down the depth chart is wide receiver David Bell, who's not practicing. He's dealing with thumb and toe injuries and doesn't look like he's a rock solid going to play this weekend. Hopefully you don't need him in your lineup. Also, most of the defenses listed as questionable right now, they look like they're all going to play the Myles Garretts of the world, so I wouldn't worry too much about that. In Dallas, they have a new member of the roster, and it's not Odell Beckham Jr. As we alluded to earlier, T.Y. Hilton was signed by the Cowboys this week. They decided he's healthy. I guess good for him. He's had a lot of leg injuries over the last couple of years. I'm curious to see how that works out because essentially Michael Gallup is just a younger T.Y. Hilton. He's running all the routes T.Y. Hilton would run. I'm not sure how it's going to work, but hopefully it does. In better news for the Cowboys, or I guess other good news, depending how you look at it, tackle Tyron Smith is going to play this week. He is still technically on injured reserve. He's going to get activated. He's missed the season with a knee injury. That would be a big boost to the offensive line. And tight end Jake Ferguson is unlikely to play this week. He's dealing with what they're calling head and neck injuries. He's not going to game on Sunday. Officially questionable. It doesn't look like it's a good chance for him to be out there. And cornerback Trevion Diggs, not sure if you've heard of him. He injured his left thumb on Sunday against the Texans, and he's officially questionable, but he's going to be out there this week. In Denver, we saw a scary moment where Russell Wilson was knocked unconscious when he got tackled. He is still in the concussion protocol, still not practicing. It looks like quite a long shot to play this week. So Brett Rippon would be your quarterback. I'm sure you all have some sense in the lineup. He is, however, healthy and not in the concussion protocol, which gives him quite an edge over Russell Wilson. Who's going to be throwing to, though? That's a little more of a question. Kendall Hinton is not practicing. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. Cortland Sutton's also dealing with a hamstring injury. He's not practicing. They're going to be without running back Mike Boone, who got put on IR with an ankle injury. And officially, KJ Hamler is not going to be activated off IR before the season ends. He suffered a setback in his own hamstring injury recovery last week, so he is done for the year. Not looking great out there for Denver. There's a lot of injuries, and they're also dealing with some in their secondary. So things are literally and figuratively tough all over there. Out in Detroit, the Fighting Motor City Dan Campbell, moderately healthy. There's not a ton of names added to the injury report this week. One being running back Craig Reynolds, who's designated to return from IR. He's been dealing with rib injuries, so they get a little more depth at running back. They also designated Quintez Cephas to return from IR with a foot injury. They get some snaps on Sunday, so They're getting a little healthier at the right time, so you like to see that. Out in Green Bay ahead of Monday Night Football, which not sure how that's going to go, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Wide receiver Romeo Doubs says that he is planning to play. He's been dealing with the ankle injury. We saw he's hobbling around pretty good the last time we saw him coming off the bye week, so it looks like he's getting a little healthier. So he's planning to play on Monday night. Keep an eye on that. In Houston, they almost pulled off the upset of the Cowboys. Unfortunately, came up a little short. They are going to be without running back Damian Pierce, which is a big, big loss for them this week. He's dealing with an ankle injury. Looks like he's going to be out 1 to 2 weeks. Officially, Phyllis is doubtful. He's not going to play this week. They are probably going to be without cornerback Devin Singletary Jr. still again. He has been hoping to play the last 3 weeks, but has not yet practiced. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. Nico Collins, the wide receiver, is not practicing with a foot injury, and neither is Brandon Cooks, who's dealing with a calf injury. Looks like Collins has a better chance to play than Brandon Cooks does. He's trending much more towards doubtful than questionable, so certainly have a plan B in your lineup for him. The Colts didn't really add anyone to their injury report this week. Good for them staying healthy. In Jacksonville, quarterback Trevor Lawrence isn't practicing. He's still dealing with that toe injury. This seems to be more of a maintenance rest kind of thing. I don't think he's in any jeopardy of not playing this week. They're dealing with quite a few injuries to their linebacking core, so maybe not the best week to have that when you've got a higher power offense coming down, but we'll see how that plays out. Keep an eye on that, especially if you're looking to stream a defense, it might not be a good one this week. In Kansas City, the artist formerly known as the Giants wide receiver, Kadarius Toney, is still questionable going into this week with a hamstring injury. It looks like he's hoping to play. He seems to be on track to right now, but we only get our hopes too far up there. And wide receiver Mecole Hardman is back at practice. He's dealing with an abdominal injury, and he's also hoping to play. They seem a little less optimistic about him than Toney, but keep an eye on both of those. The Raiders, I mean, they're still the Raiders. running back Josh Jacobs is officially listed as questionable with a finger injury. It's his pinky finger. He's going to play this week. This is just silly. But I guess that's how we're going to officially list him until the weekend. But barring his hand falling off, I would be shocked if he didn't play. In better news, though, both Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller were activated off IR today. They didn't think Renfrow was necessarily going to be, but I guess he had a pretty good week. So he's been dealing with an oblique injury, Waller with a hamstring injury. So they're both going to be eligible to play this week. Keep an eye on who actually will, but it seems like Waller is the healthier of the two, which is always a plus. The Chargers are dealing mostly with injuries to their defense. They're trying to get a little healthier. Supposedly Joey Bosa, who last week we were told wasn't very close to returning, is going to be reevaluated this week, and they think he's got a chance of playing this season. It is not going to be this week, though, so I guess Aaron Rodgers can take a breath there. You got one less thing to worry about. And then we talked about the Rams and the Baker Mayfield excitement rolling into town. John Wolford is still not practicing. He's still dealing with a neck injury that cost him most of the game. And, I mean, he started, he played a series. He's not going to start. He's not going to play this week. Baker Mayfield is going to be your starting quarterback. So I guess he's got an extra day to prepare going into – well, I guess he's got more than an extra day. He only had 2 days last week, so he's doing all right. However, it looks like wide receiver Cooper Kupp is not going to be back this season. They were hoping to get him back off IR before the end of the year, but frankly, there's really no reason to, and it sounds like he's not healing quite as fast as they – yeah, like what? Or what? You're already going to get – you're already giving away your first-round draft pick, so what does it even matter? So I think everyone kind of came to their senses and are not going to put him on the football field. That's best for everyone, I think. Miami, little banged up here on the offense. We talked about the weather going into Buffalo. It's not great. They will have Tua Tagovailoa. However, Teddy Bridgewater is back up, may not be available. He's dealing with a knee injury. He was limited today at practice. Wide receiver River Craycraft did not practice. He's dealing with a calf injury. He's questionable going into the weekend. Again, hopefully you're not reaching far enough that you need to be starting with a quick draft on your roster, but if
probably up the river.
You are, yeah, things aren't going well. Jeff Wilson Jr. did not practice. He's dealing with a hip injury. looks like he's hoping to play through it, but keep an eye on him as the week goes. And Tyreek Hill was limited. He's dealing with that ankle injury. We saw him get they were icing it and doing the whole thing on the sideline. So he's going to try to play through it. How effective he'll be, hard to say, especially in colder weather. It's not usually ideal. Out in Minnesota, mostly defensive injuries there, particularly linebackers and cornerbacks, so keep an eye on that. Tight end Irv Smith Jr. is still on IR, but he was at practice, so he's around and might get activated off IR before the season's over. Again, if you have a mustache, maybe hold on to him for another week. Out in New England, running back Damian Harris practiced, but it was limited today. He's dealing with a thigh injury. He's questionable going into the weekend. I think there's a pretty good chance he plays this weekend, especially because Ramondre Stevenson might not. He's dealing with an ankle injury. He didn't practice on Wednesday. He's questionable going into the weekend, so keep an eye on that. Jacoby Myers is still in the concussion protocol. He's been there since last week, still not practicing at all, which is not a great sign. And joining him is Devontae Parker, who was knocked out of the game after, believe it or not, Nelson Aguilar was the voice of reason and stopped play. I was like, can someone get this man off the field? So he's definitely still firmly in the concussion protocol. I'd be very surprised if we saw him out there this week. They are dealing with a couple of defensive injuries, particularly Devin McCourty. So, again, hopefully you don't have to stream a Patriots defense, but keep that in mind. Out in New Orleans, a lot of defensive injuries. Cam Jordan, Marshawn Lattimore, keep an eye on those guys. Also, kicker Will Lutz is sick. He's not practicing. Just worth noting, going into the weekend, you might have him on a team. Make sure there's someone else out there in case he doesn't play. Running back Dwayne Washington didn't practice. He's also sick. There's a lot of that going around. Remember, last week, even though they run a bye, I told you that Mark Ingram Jr., suffered a small MCL tear because he's going to be done for the year. So Wayne Washington, more of a depth player there. Tight end Adam Trautman was limited today. He's dealing with an ankle injury. And tight end Juwan Johnson was also limited with his own ankle injury. So it's a little thin there at tight end. Out in New York for Sherpa's Giants, tight end Daniel Bellinger is limited. He's dealing with rib injuries. Again, not even sure how he's playing with the whole eye thing, but props to him. Wide receiver Richard James is still in the concussion protocol. He's not practicing, so keep an eye on that. Not entirely sure beyond Darius Slayton who's going to play wide receiver out there, but also worth noting that Xavier McKinney, the safety, is not practicing, not going to play this week against Washington. Still dealing with a couple other injuries from the linebacker core as well, so keep an eye on that. The Jets, I'm sure we all saw Mike White just got pummeled last week with, I'm not sure how any of his ribs are still intact, but he's planning to be the starter this week. He was limited at practice today. We saw him get knocked out twice, went to the hospital after the game, and still managed to get out of the hospital before the team left the building. So he met up with the team before they went back home. So he's crazy enough to go out there. Joe Flacco probably would be the backup. Last week, Zach Wilson wasn't even active, so not sure. Keep an eye on that as the week goes.
For what it's worth, I think they already said Zach Wilson was going to be the backup this week.
I think you're right. I just don't really trust anything the Jets are doing at quarterback. this whole thing seems like such a mess. Mike White seems crazy enough to go out there and play football. Again, not really sure what for, but props to him. The Eagles dealing with a few injuries, particularly wide receiver Kez Watkins, who I sure hope you're not starting, but for whatever reason they keep throwing the football to. He's dealing with a shoulder injury. He was limited today. Dallas Goedert is going to come back off IR, it looks like, this week. He was out the last 4 weeks with a shoulder injury. Didn't do a whole lot of practice today. He was out there. Looks like he's playing. They haven't officially activated him off IR yet, but they're going to. Also, keep in mind that tackle Lane Johnson, who was knocked out of the game on Sunday, he's dealing with an abdominal injury. He's day-to-day. If he doesn't play, that really changes things for Jalen Hurts' productivity. Not necessarily that they can't win the game without him. And they lost their punter. Poor guy tried to get a first down and ended his season. So hopefully Eagles special teams isn't going to be what saves you this week. Out in Pittsburgh, Najee Harris didn't practice. He's dealing with a hip injury. It's a Wednesday. He doesn't practice a lot of Wednesdays, so I wouldn't read too much into that, but keep an eye on it. quarterback Kenny Pickett is still in the concussion protocol, but he was limited today at practice, which is a good sign. Tight end Pat Freiermuth, not out there at all today. He still has a foot injury, so certainly that's going to go down to game time. Somebody you want to line up as utility. And they're dealing with a lot of injuries to their defense. So, again, not the healthiest we've ever seen them. Also something I hope you're not having to lean on. In San Francisco, we saw Mr. Relevant Brock Purdy beat Mr. Relevant Tom Brady. He also suffered an oblique injury. He's listed as questionable. He is going to be the starting quarterback this week. Scarier, though, was wide receiver Deebo Samuel getting carted off. They're calling it a high ankle sprain, knee/ankle, but they're thinking he's probably out for the next 3 weeks. That would take us to the end of the season. So they might get him back the last week of the season. They're hoping to have him back for the playoffs. And we shall see. Also officially ruled out for their game on Thursday is cornerback Samuel Womack. So other than that, everyone's still technically questionable, as most of us are. In Seattle, running back DJ Dallas is questionable for the other side of the Thursday night game. He's dealing with that ankle injury. Pretty much anyone who plays running back in the greater Seattle area is going to be listed as questionable, but most notably DJ Dallas is probably the healthiest of the bunch, as terrifying as that is. In Tampa Bay, Julio Jones didn't practice today with a knee injury. It's also Wednesday. Also not something to get too terribly upset about, but keep an eye on it. Vita Vea and Tristan Wirfs, both linemen, obviously Vita Vea on the defensive side. Looks like they're both not going to play this week. Vea is dealing with a calf injury. Wirfs is still dealing with that high ankle sprain. He's missed the last two games, and you can tell Tom Brady is not loving life out there. So they're both pretty doubtful and trending towards not playing. So keep an eye on that. In Tennessee, our boy Bobby Trees, a.k.a. Robert Woods, is not practicing. He's sick. It looks like he also has the flu. Hopefully he gets better by the end of the week. Traylon Burks, also still not practicing. He's still dealing with that concussion we saw him suffer 2 weeks ago. Not a great sign he's still in the concussion protocol and not practicing, so I wouldn't bank on him being out there this week. Ryan Tannehill still officially listed as questionable with an ankle injury, and running back Dontrell Hilliard is out and likely out for at least the next couple of weeks. He suffered a neck injury when he got tackled, I think special teams this week. So Derrick Henry's going to be a one-man show in the backfield. Not so much a change of pace there.
Casey McMass is back.
Yeah, that's true. Got a little something going right there.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
I wonder if he can balance his checkbook.
We don't know. We should find out. I'm sure he's listening. Write in. Let us know.
Tweet us.
Last but not least, the Washington Commanders going through some public relations nightmares and also some injuries. Officially, running backs Antonio Gibson and Brian Robinson Jr. are both listed as questionable. They're both limited today. Robinson's dealing with a quad injury. Gibson's got a foot injury. It looks like they're both on track to play, but maybe a little more by committee. And defensive end Chase Young, technically listed as questionable with the knee injury. He is, they're hoping, going to play this week, which would certainly be a boost for that defense. So I think we finally made it. We made it to the end of the injury report.
Take a breath.
Anyone's left on the waiver wire?
There are, in fact. I don't know how much you would really want to be starting any of these people in a playoff.
I mean,
I had to start
Mike Boone on a team last week, so some of us out there are going to need some money.
Did that team actually make the playoffs or no?
Shockingly, yes. Yes. Which,
oh, wow.
From that statement, you wouldn't believe, but it was more a bye week problem than anything else.
Oh, okay. It is a bye week problem.
Yeah, it was
an injury
problem.
I'd say that's something
else.
It's a bye week
problem.
Knock
on wood.
You're okay.
I'm hoping.
So, wide receiver wise, running back wise, we've got sort of two categories of guys. You've got the receivers out of the backfield types, like Jerick McKinnon, who probably aren't going to win a matchup for you, but if you're fortunate, might put up enough points to, give you some value out of a flex. And then we've also got guys like Pierre Strong and Zamir White, who you know, give you a goose egg, or if the guy in front of them is really hurt and not able to play, might actually, you know, contribute more points than a Jerick McKinnon would. So anyway, be that as it may, Jerick McKinnon out there at Houston this week, Pierre Strong, depends again what's going on with Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris. Zamir White, again, all depends on Josh Jacobs, Chuba Hubbard, Jordan Mason, Rex Burkhead, Travis Hulver, and Marlon Mack. But again, you know, none of those guys likely to start this week, possible exception of Rex Burkhead. But you figure in that game, Houston's probably going to spend a lot more time passing the ball than they will, or at least trying to pass the ball than they will running the ball. So not sure that he would be worth it much more than any of the other guys I mentioned. But any comments, additions, or deletions to that list?
No, no. So far, I'm just happy it's not Mike Boone, to be honest. But, yeah, I think they're pretty good options.
Yeah, that'll be a boon for your fantasy team. Wide receiver-wise, Zay Jones still out there in some leagues. I'm not quite sure what he has to do to convince people he's worthwhile. But, again, you know, Dallas, they figure to be throwing a lot. That figures to be a relatively high-scoring game. So you could certainly do worse than Zay Jones. Elijah Moore had a nice game last week. He's had a couple nice games lately after asking out earlier in the season. Fortunately for him, that didn't pan out, at least not yet. Got the Detroit secondary this week, so that could be promising. Chris Moore, I'm not so keen on, but you know, depending on the health of the guys ahead of them, and you know, they will probably be throwing a lot against Kansas City. Paris Campbell, don't love the matchup. Isaiah Hodgins for the Giants, you were asking who could catch passes for them besides Darius Slayton before. Isaiah Hodgins has been doing a fairly good job of that lately. Nelson Aguilar. Yeah. I try not to make false statements, but yeah, it's every once in a while one will slip in. There's a difference between patently false statements and just uninformed, wild, speculative guesses that don't pan out. And I've certainly served up plenty of the latter.
That's our sweet spot right there.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take most of the credit for that. DJ Chark against the Jets, Treylon Burks and Mecole Hardman both maybe still injured. Wouldn't bank a lot on them. And then if you're really dipping deep into the pool and want to, you know, play the Baker Mayfield bounce back, and you've got Van Jefferson, Vance Garonic, and Tutu Otwell also all widely available. Hopefully you're not having to start any of them in your playoff matchups. But again, depending on injuries, you may not have a choice. Marquise Goodwin had a nice game last week as Seattle's third wide receiver. I'm not sure how much I would trust him against San Francisco's defense. And then Trenton Irwin for the Bengals going up against Tampa Bay. If some of the guys ahead of him, T. Higgins and some of the others there are still hurt, you know, T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, then you know, Trenton Irwin may be somebody that you consider. So anyway, thoughts on that list? Anybody you would want to add or delete from that list?
Normally, I'm not a proponent of Nelson Aguilar, but I think he's, like, the healthiest man standing. I think that could be really interesting.
It's a revenge game for him, too.
Exactly. And you know how
I mean,
we
a
mini
revenge
game here.
Compared to...
He does have a lot of revenge.
If you were playing the Eagles. I still remember that guy in the fire a few years ago in Philadelphia.
He couldn't catch a baby.
They caught the babies, and then they interviewed him and asked him, you know, how he managed to do it, and he said, I was just thinking, make sure I catch him and don't drop him like Aguilar does.
I know. I just love the pettiness of Philadelphia that, like, in a completely unrelated incident.
Yeah. Here you are. You're a hero. You're being interviewed on live TV, and the best you can do is make snide comments about your wide receiver dropping
passes. I bet he didn't buy a lot of meals for himself for a while after that. People were on board with it.
Probably true. So quarterback-wise, Mike White definitely has an appealing matchup this week against Detroit secondary. It's just a question of, you know, will that flak jacket that he's presumably going to be wearing to protect his ribs allow him to throws effectively, and will his offensive line give him time to do that? Taylor Heinicke has a nice matchup against the Giants. Ryan Tannehill in what could be a high-scoring game against the Chargers, although you wonder how much of that scoring would come via Derrick Henry as opposed to Ryan Tannehill's arm. Brock Purdy, Desmond Ridder making a first start is risky. New Orleans defense, not the worst in the world either, but we'll see there. Colt McCoy and Baker Mayfield rounding out the options. I really don't expect a lot of any of those guys. If he's healthy, Mike White, probably the best in the bunch. But again, hopefully you're not having to reach into the waiver wire for a quarterback this week. Although I must admit in one league that I'm in, I don't like either of my quarterbacks matchups this week and might actually consider a Mike White.
And I mean, I've got him on a team. I don't know if I need to start him this week. I'm still figuring that out, but I have him out there. That's not even his 32-team league. He was on that team, too.
Yeah. Yes, I remember. We were happy to finally get a starting quarterback in that league when he was promoted.
What an embarrassment of riches I had.
Zach Wilson was promoted, yeah. Just had it fall into your lap. Tight end-wise, the two guys, actually, there's some pretty good options out there this week. Evan Engram may be available. I really like the matchup against Dallas and Trevor Lawrence. I know he's banged up a little bit, but he's been playing better of late. Chigozie and Okonkwo, who we mentioned last week on the show, I actually picked him up on two of my teams and started him on one of them. Had a nice game last week. Tyler Conklin, Hunter Henry, and I'm less excited about Taysom Hill, but he may be the healthiest of the New Orleans tight ends.
The last one standing.
He can also obviously shift into the backfield as needed, and Atlanta's defense is not going to remind anybody of the 86 Bears, so there are worse plays,
so
but I think I prefer the other four over him.
Yeah, I'm with you there. But I think Tyler Conklin's very interesting. I think he might have himself a nice day.
He certainly could. Defenses you might want to stream this week, New Orleans at home against Atlanta, Cleveland on the road at Baltimore, Denver home to Arizona, Arizona on the road against Denver, Washington home to the Giants, and Minnesota home on Saturday to the Colts. All those defenses could do well for you this weekend if you're in a pinch.
There's some decent defense matchups. I don't think there's a ton of incredibly high-scoring games, so there's some options out there.
Yep. So how about we move on to our player, our top 10 and avoid list?
I guess we still don't really always do running back.
Okay. I can kick us off.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I've got Christian McCaffrey at the top of my list, partly because as we saw last week, and I've been telling you all season, you don't actually need a quarterback to run this 49ers offense. Christian McCaffrey can do it just fine. The defensive matchup is a good one. The fact that clearly Brock Purdy is great, but he cannot, he's just one man. He can't do it on his own. Christian McCaffrey seems to want to do that. So if you're going to outscore your projections by 60 yards, let's keep doing that. That was good. Austin Eckler's coming in at 2, even with that tougher matchup. He's just too good to put any lower than that. Derrick Henry at 3. Joe Mixon at 4. And Jonathan Taylor rounding out the top 5. Josh Jacobs, even though he's got a broken pinky, I think he'll be just fine at 6. Saquon Barkley, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, and Tony Pollard rounding out my top 10.
Okay, I've got Dalvin Cook at the top of my running back list for this week. Miles Sanders, Christian McCaffrey, agree with you there. Joe Mixon, Austin Eckler, also agree with you on him. Alvin Kamara, Tony Pollard, who was also on your list. Ezekiel Elliott, Zonovan Knight, who's had a few nice games in a row for the Jets now, like the matchup against Detroit's defense. And Aaron Jones rounding out my top 10. Honorable mentions to Isaiah Pacheco, whoever starts at running back for New England this week, Devin Singletary, and Brian Robinson, if he's healthy enough to play.
Yeah, I hope he is, but it's a good honorable mention. The top of my avoid list has Cordell Patterson this week, which, you know, kind of goes against Green since they don't have quarterback. But I don't love the matchup. I don't love the fact that Chloe is the only offensive weapon they have. Staying away from him. Also, A.J. Dillon, Michael Carter out in New York. I think Donovan is a guy. He's all the carries. Chuba Hubbard in Carolina, not the best matchup. Samaje P. Ryan, I just don't think he's going to have enough touches. Marlon Mack, Rick Burkhead, Tyler Allgeier, and Tyrone Williams.
All right, so leading off my avoid list for this week, Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb, Josh Jacobs, Leonard Fournette, J.K. Dobbins, Najee Harris, Latavius Murray, David Montgomery, and Rashad White, rounding out my 10 to avoid this week. And see if I have any dishonorable mentions. Oh, yeah, I have two. Gus Edwards and Rex Burkhead.
Yeah, it's tough. It's too much uncertainty to really know if they'll even get enough touches to be anything remotely what you need out of your fantasy lineup this week. So I support those dishonorable mentions. How about wide receiver? Who do you like this week?
You'll be happy to know that I think for the third week in a row I have CeeDee Lamb at the top of my wide receiver list.
I actually jammed him into the bottom of my list. He made the top 10, barely.
Okay. I've got him at the tippy top, right ahead of Justin
Jefferson.
I like
your version of things much better than mine.
A.J. Brown, Jamar Chase, Stephon Diggs, Chris Olave, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Terry McLaurin, and Christian Watson rounding out my top 10. Honorable mentions, Brandon Ayuk, Garrett Wilson, and Juju Smith-Schuster.
There you go. We've got some overlap. I have Justin Jefferson at the top of my list. Tyreek Hill was up here a little higher, but this ankle thing has me not feeling so great, so he got bumped down the list a little bit, which opened the door for Jamar Chase to be number two on the list this week. Stephon Diggs at three, Devontae Adams at four, Amon-Ra St. Brown coming in at five, even though wide receivers are getting healthier left and right in Detroit. I think he's still going to be the guy. Tyreek Hill checking in all the way at six on the list this week. Ankles and then going into a frozen tundra, not my idea of success, but I think he'll still be very relevant, just not like putting up 200 yards. A.J. Brown at seven, DK Metcalf, Keenan Allen at nine, and C.D. Lamb rounding out number 10.
Okay, I have a former Cowboy at the top of my avoid list. That would be Amari Cooper. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Deontay Johnson, Michael Pittman, Darius Slayton, Paris Campbell, Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, and Van Jefferson rounding out my 10 to avoid. Dishonorable mentions to Devin Duvernay, Chris Moore, and Chase Claypool.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of names that necessarily don't need to be on this avoid list, but you know the powers that be, this is what happens. Gabe Davis is on my avoid list. I don't love the matchup. Normally I would be fine with him being hanging around in purgatory, but this week I'm saying no. Deontay Johnson also here. Cortland Sutton, I'm not really trusting the injury much. Even if he thinks he wants to play football, he is not someone you should have on your roster. DJ Moore, again, I want to talk myself into thinking this is going to be a good matchup for him, and it's just not, so I've made my peace with it. Elijah Moore, Curtis Samuel, Josh Palmer, Brandon Cooks, again, the injury doesn't look good. Paris Campbell and DJ Chark. Staying away from.
Okay.
What a guy that I like on my avoid this week.
Quarterbacks, who do you like this week?
Well, as much as it pains me to say, I have Jalen Hurts at the top of my list of quarterbacks to start this week. Sometimes you just got to go with some sound logic, which I don't particularly enjoy, but he has a very good matchup against the Bears. And I think I just have to make peace with it now. Josh Allen's at a very, very much a 1A in this conversation. with his matchup against Miami. Patrick Mahomes at 3, Joe Burrow, and Justin Fields rounding out my top 5. So a lot of guys crammed into the same games there in the top 5. Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, and Cousins rounding out my top 10.
Hey, we've got some overlap, more at the top, I think, than on the back half. But I've got Patrick Mahomes at the top of my list, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, who's been an infrequent guest on the top 10 list this season,
wow.
Mac White,
wow.
And
look
Andy
you.
Dalton, another one who's hardly ever on the top 10 list. Honorable mentions, Ryan Tannehill, Taylor Heineke, Brock Purdy and Mike White, assuming the latter two are healthy enough to play.
Well, I can tell you I have Aaron Rodgers and Ryan Tannehill both on my avoid list.
Why does that not surprise me?
Not even a little bit. I don't love a lot of what the Packers are doing right now. Granted, the Rams are not world beaters, but they have a defense. There is still some semblance of a defense there, and I don't even know if Aaron Rodgers even talks to his wide receivers. So I think there are issues here. I don't want any part of them. Ryan Tannehill, still got the bad leg. He's going against a defense that's going to make him move a little bit. It needs to be a Derrick Henry-centric offense for this to be successful, and so Ryan Tannehill can just see himself to the bench here. Andy Dalton shocks no one on the avoid list, as well as Mac Jones. Just not a great matchup, not a great situation on either sideline, apparently. Jared Goff, Derek Carr, Kenny Pickett, Davis Mills, P.J. Walker, anyone who wants to play quarterback for the Denver Broncos, just say no to.
I think I said Mac White before I meant Mac Jones, of course.
Mac White. Is Mike
Any
and
guy
Mac,
named Mac
Jones Mike. All combined into one player? That would be interesting, but no, unfortunately, Mike White can stay in my purgatory. Mac Jones is on the do not start list. Sorry, buddy.
Okay.
We'll get you a new offensive or an offensive coordinator in any capacity one of these days, and you might be able to be good again. I'm pulling for you.
But on the other hand, the guy at the top of my avoid list this week, Tom Brady, is going to be a free agent again at the end of the season. So who knows? I doubt he would go back to New England, but one stranger things have happened. Daniel Jones joining Tom. Yep. Probably Jerry Jones primarily, just trying to sabotage Robert Kraft.
I'm sure Jerry's
some other guys on my avoid list.
That.
Daniel Jones also making an appearance, joining Tom Brady on my avoid list. Deshaun Watson, Justin Fields, Matt Ryan, Davis Mills, whoever starts at quarterback for the Broncos this week, Baker Mayfield, whoever starts at quarterback for the Steelers this week, and whoever starts at quarterback for the Ravens this week. It's a lot of whomevers, or I should say whoever's.
Player to
whatever.
Be named later.
Yes.
We just have the question mark picture of him, like a guess who card.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on to tight ends.
This is a much more upbeat list. We got guys getting healthier on this list.
I've got Travis Kelce at the top of my list, which is, I'm sure, is a big shock to you. Dalton Schultz, T.J. Hockenson, Gerald Everett, George Kittle, Dawson Knox, Hunter Henry, Ngozi and Okonkwo, Logan Thomas and Robert Tonyan rounding out my top 10. Honorable mentions, Dallas Goedert, if he's healthy enough to get on the field for the Eagles, and Taysom Hill.
I also have Travis Kelce at the top of my list. Mark Andrews close behind. P.J. Hockenson at 3. Hit a little bit of a rough game last week. I think he's going to bounce back nicely. George Kittle at 4. Dalton Schultz at 5. Dallas Goedert, fresh off IR at 6. Pat Freiermuth, also a little banged up, but looks like he's going to play. And if he does, I'm more than happy to start him. David Njoku and Evan Ingram, Greg Dulcich rounding out the top 10. Kind of could go back and forth on Ingram, but let's see if he stays healthy. That would be nice. So I got a couple of guys out in purgatory, including Darren Waller. But my award list has a couple of your starts on it. I'm sure you're shocked by that.
No, and Mark Andrews is actually at the top of my avoid list, and he was
perfect.
On your top 10 list.
There is balance has been restored.
Yep. Cole Kmet also on that avoid list, Tyler Higbee, Greg Dulcich, Kate Otten, Daniel Bellinger, David Njoku, Pat Freiermuth, and then anybody playing tight end, whether it be Kylan Granson or Mo Alie-Cox for Indianapolis this weekend against the Vikings.
Yeah.
And just honorable mention to Jordan Aiken. Just had to get that.
It's a little rough on this tight end spectrum here. I have Juwan Johnson, Adam Trautman et al. Taysom Hill is still in purgatory, but even like a real, real close to the edge of purgatory. I'm not excited about a totally unhealthy position, which they utilize frequently. But I don't love that for them this week. Daniel Bellinger, he's suffered a lot of injuries and a lot of things that are going to impede his ability to breathe and see and do, like, normal basic human functions, which makes it exponentially harder to play football, I would imagine. Jihojin Okwonkwo, you can almost get that on the first try, is also, unfortunately, on my avoid list this week. I tried to finagle him in. I just don't think there's going to be enough for him. Kate Otten, Jelani Woods, Austin Hooper, Hunter Henry, Logan Thomas, Foster Moreau, head, shoulders, knees, and toes. There's a lot of tight ends that you really don't want to be having to start on your fantasy team this week.
Hey, how about defenses? Who would you like to start this week?
I would like to start the Kansas City Chiefs. I feel that an awful lot, despite what the Cowboys did not do defensively against the Houston Texans last week. They're going to be without their running back and at least one of their wide receivers, so I think it's a really nice time to be a Chiefs defense. That is, without a doubt, at the top of my list. I've got the Broncos coming in second, the Panthers, Commanders, and the 49ers rounding out my top five. Then we're going to go on down into the Saints, Eagles, Packers, Raiders, and Steelers. Teams get a little higher scoring, a little more competitive, so that's my first 10. How about you?
Okay. Cleveland, Kansas City, Philadelphia, Green Bay, Cincinnati, Minnesota, Baltimore, Carolina, and Arizona, and Washington rounding out my 10 defenses that I would like to start this week.
Look at you with just 10. I'm impressed. Defenses normally where things
it
go off the rail if you're counting.
I'm getting it down here at the end of the season. I'm in mid-season form.
We're hitting our mid-season stride here, guys. If they didn't have so damn many bye weeks, we could be here so much sooner. But no, this is what the schedule God gave us. Other things I don't like, including the schedule maker. A couple of defenses this week. I've got the Patriots, the Cowboys, the Ravens, the Vikings. Believe it or not, even the Cardinals on defenses I'm looking to stay away from. They join the Browns, Jets, Chargers, Bills, and Bengals. A little East Coast bias
for me,
on my
sorry, what was that?
I got a little East Coast bias there as that list went on, but sorry about that, guys.
Well, it happened. I'm trying to see if I have any biases in my list this week, and I think it's a bias against bad teams, but we'll see.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah. Houston topping my list of defenses to avoid this week, Jacksonville, Indy, Atlanta, Chicago, Tampa Bay, Tennessee, Miami, Las Vegas, and the Rams. Dishonorable mention to Seattle, Detroit, the Chargers, and unfortunately my Giants.
Yeah, sorry about your Giants. Wasn't
okay.
Their week?
Whoever loses
just,
the game
don't
Sunday
let it be
night
a tie.
Is most likely out of the playoff race in my mind. We'll see.
If we get another tie, I'm going to be furious.
It could be weird, though. It could be like that. Do you remember the last game of the regular season last year with the Chargers and Vegas and the Chargers, that they had played for a tie that they, you know, could have, you know, made sure that they both got into the playoffs, but their coach, you know, understandably didn't want to play for a tie, and they ended up losing and missing out on the playoffs. I don't think we would see anything like that here, where they would just sit on the ball at the end, but who knows, stranger things.
I don't know.
Happen.
It like almost felt like it when we were watching overtime last time. Like, is anyone going to do anything?
Yeah.
So we'll just, see. No ties.
Then
the
whole
no
overtime in victory formation and then punt. All right.
It'd be must-see TV, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. For all the wrong reasons. I wonder, you know, because when somebody runs out on the field, you know, fan runs out on the field, they turn the cameras away from that. I wonder if there's any actual football plays that would make them run, you know, do that. I think maybe last year when the Giants ran that quarterback sneak on third and forever from their 2-yard line, that might have been something the cameras should have turned away from. But other than that, I can't really think of anything.
That's the one you know we shouldn't have to replay over and over in your mind.
That and the butt fumble,
yeah. So, and now it's a marketing thing. They're using it in commercials now. Oh, anyway.
Yeah, they are.
I digress.
Yeah. You can make money off your screw-ups if you just wait 10 years, I guess.
That's it. That's all you
got
to do.
So now we've got to run. We've got to run a little bit of a 2-minute drill on our game predictions here. So I'll get this off. San Francisco, Seattle for the Thursday night game. Not sure how healthy Brock Purdy is. Not sure it matters. Geno Smith is starting to play a little bit more like Geno Smith again. Christian McCaffrey has been a godsend for the 49ers. I'll say San Francisco 27 and the 12th men 24.
I've got San Francisco winning 28-20. If the Seahawks were a little healthier, I would feel a lot better about this, but right now, it doesn't feel like they're playing quite the same style of football as the 49ers, but it is a Thursday night game, so anything weird can happen. So I'm keeping it close-ish, but I think the 49ers have the edge.
Okay, Saturday, as you mentioned before, we've got three games this week. Early game, Indianapolis at Minnesota. Minnesota, bad loss last week, but they seem to have bounced back pretty well from both the previous losses this season, so I'm counting on them to do it again. Indianapolis, yeah, it was nice. Jeff Saturday won his first game there, but I just think they're being exposed as not a very good offense, you know, or a team, but I think Minnesota wins this pretty handily. I'll go with Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson to have the games in Minnesota 31, Indianapolis 21.
Yeah, I tried really hard to pick Indy to win this game because I really just don't understand this Vikings team. I don't like Kirk Cousins. It's fine. I can be above that, but the team is crumbling, and it's not playing well, and it doesn't look like anywhere near what it should. So I'm hoping this week they get it together a little bit. I have them winning 28-26 in a close one, but this game could be ugly. Just, like, not fun football to watch.
Okay, the late game on Saturday afternoon, Cleveland hosting Baltimore. I'm sure it'll be nice and balmy there. Baltimore, that quarterback situation, whether it's Tyler Huntley or Anthony, I forget the name. I know he's on the Lakers, Anthony Davis, but Anthony Brown is the guy I was trying to think of. Mike White, Davis, Mac Jones White and Anthony Davis Brown. But anyway, I think that Deshaun Watson will get the win here. I don't think it'll be pretty, but hopefully his stats continue to improve a little bit. I'll say Cleveland 21, Baltimore 17.
I've got Baltimore winning 21-13. I don't think Deshaun Watson's going to get this done or anything done. I am supremely unimpressed with what I've seen on a football field with him right now. I'm just totally independent of who he may be or may not be as a human being, but as an NFL quarterback, he doesn't look good right now. He doesn't look like he really understands what the routes are or what he's seeing on a defense trying to read it. Some of it is rust, but it's not shaking off all that fast. And the Baltimore defense is going to give him more problems than it thinks it is. I think that little baby Lamar, Tyler Huntley, is going to be under center. He'll be okay. And he doesn't have to put this game on the back and win it, because the Browns are going to give them at least one gift. I wouldn't be shocked to have at least one pick six go for the Ravens. And that right there can be your difference. I've got them winning 21-13.
Well, the good thing we can say about these Saturday games is that in theory, they're all good matchups. There could all be pretty close games. I think the Minnesota Indy game has the potential to get out of hand. But
the teams are so bad,
they've
melded together into one underachieving unit.
Indianapolis, yes. So Saturday night game, Buffalo hosting Miami, that should be another balmy game. And just because they're at home, I'll go with the Bills over the warm weather team, but I'll say Buffalo 28, Miami 24.
I think the weather keeps us a lower scoring game. If they were playing in Miami, I wouldn't be surprised if both of these teams were north of 30. But I'm taking Buffalo to win 30-20. Miami doesn't play well in the cold. They don't travel well in the cold. It's going to be extremely cold in Buffalo and potentially snow on them. And Tua looked a little lost the last 2 weeks. He's been getting some tougher defensive reads. He's not going to his second and third progression as well. Guys are getting banged up. He's got some stuff he's got to work through. And unless they can figure that out relatively quickly, because this Buffalo secondary has gotten a lot healthier over the last few weeks, I just don't think they can go score for score with the Bills. So I think they lose by 10.
Okay, next up we've got Sunday games, New Orleans hosting Atlanta. Whoever wins this NFC South is going to probably get bounced in the first round of the playoffs, but I think New Orleans will come out the better of these two teams on Sunday. I'll say New Orleans 30, Atlanta 24.
I've got New Orleans winning 27-19, so we're not totally far apart. Atlanta just has nothing. I'm sorry, Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm sorry. But there is nothing going for them right now. The team's underachieving at pretty much every position. They've got injuries. They've got maybe not a great coach. There's a lot that needs to be fixed on a team that started the season on paper looking like they had a lot going their way. So I don't anticipate a whole lot of excitement coming out of this game. And New Orleans is still the Andy Dalton experience, which in itself is not that thrilling to watch. So they're banged up, but not as badly as Atlanta is. So they're going to win 27-19.
Okay. Andy Dalton's former team, Dallas, on the road against Jacksonville. Probably the less said about the Houston game, the better, but they did win. I think they managed to find a way to do that here, albeit a little bit more convincingly. I'll go the final score, 34, Jacksonville 24.
I've got Dallas winning 31-20, so I'm a little further apart. I think that they got embarrassed last week, and rightfully so. However, I could see this game being closer. I'm worried it'll be closer because they tend to not go on the road well against the AFC South or the South in general. So going to Jacksonville might not be the best thing, but I think hopefully last week kind of jolted them back to like, oh, we might need to work a little harder, and I think we'll see that this week. I hope we'll see that this week. So I've got them winning 31-20.
And we've got the Jets hosting Blues' favorite team, the Lions. This game, to me, should be actually be one of the more interesting games on Sunday. You've got two quarterbacks, one who's a folk hero and one who's maligned but playing a lot better than people realize recently. And I think it just comes down to how healthy is Mike White, because if he's healthy, I think the Jets have a more balanced defense than the Lions do. They've also got Sauce Gardner in the secondary to blanket Amon-Ra St. Brown or DJ Chark or whomever, Jameson Williams, but I think the Jets pull this out. I'll go with the Jets 27, Detroit 24. And I know you're going to pick the other way, but go ahead. And
I absolutely am. And believe me, I want this Jets team to do well. I love Mike White. I like the things are getting a little zany, weird out there. It's great. There's some personality to the team, and the defense is fun to watch. I can watch with Sauce Gardner play football all day. It's great. However, the Motor City Dan Campbell of it all, I mean, how can you not go to war for this man who goes for a fake punt on your own 26-yard line like it's a normal thing to do? It's not. That was crazy. But it worked. And he's just going to keep throwing all kinds of crazy out there, and some of it's going to stick, and everyone drank the Kool-Aid. They're all in on this craziness. So, yeah, I'm in. I'm in on it. A very, very close game. Detroit wins 24-23 with a end-of-the-game field goal. It's going to go back and forth all game. I can't wait to watch this.
Okay. A game that probably figures not to be that close, Kansas City at Houston. I'll go with Kansas City to more than double up on Houston. I'll say Kansas City 35, Houston 17.
Yeah, I mean, I kept it closer. I do respect this Houston defense. Didn't show a lot of great things. Unfortunately, they aren't going to have their running back. Both wide receivers are banged up, and that's going to make Davis Mills struggle a lot harder. So I've got them losing by touchdown, Kansas City up 28-21. So I think it's closer, but it's not competitive.
Hey, Philadelphia on the road against Chicago, a rematch of the infamous Fog Bowl of some 35 years ago, but Fog or not, I think Philadelphia is just a much superior team. That Fog Bowl game was a playoff game. This most certainly is not. One of these two teams will not be in the playoff. I'll leave it to your imagination to guess which one. But I'll say Philadelphia wins this pretty easily. I'll say Philly 30, Chicago 17.
We got Philly winning 35-24. I think Justin Fields keeps it interesting. I think he's going to have to. But I think that Chicago will move the ball better on the Philly defense than most people anticipate. The problem is that they just can't go score for score the same way that you would need to beat these Eagles teams. So they'll keep it competitive. They'll stick around, but they're going to lose by 11, 35-24. So close, but
okay.
Not close.
Next week, we've got a Who Cares Bowl with Carolina hosting the Steelers. The less said about this game, the better. I'll go with the home team, Carolina 24 over Pitt 21.
I like P.J. Walker with non-scrambled brains over Kenny Pickett with a definite headache. I'm taking Carolina 21-17.
Okay. Next up, we've got the late games, Arizona at Denver. Could be the battle of the backup quarterbacks. I think Arizona has a few more weapons on offense that are a little bit healthier than Denver does. So I'll go, and Colt McCoy is one of the more functional backup quarterbacks in the league. So I'll go with, even if he didn't show up last week, so I'll go with Arizona 24 over Denver 21.
Okay, I went Arizona 23, Denver 16. I'm not entirely sure how they are planning on scoring any of their points unless Colt McCoy tries to give him away. I think the kicker is going to be busy. It certainly sounds like it's going to be Brett Rippon under center, and he looked just fine. He was serviceable, but against that Arizona defense, you got to be a little better than serviceable. So I think Colt McCoy is going to be riding off into the sunset after this one.
One of the interesting games, New England with Mac Jones White going up against Derek Carr. I'll go with Mac Jones White 28 over the Derek Carr's 24 here.
I'm going to take the fighting Derek Carr's to win 27-23. Again, until New England figures out that they need an offensive coordinator, which I'm not sure how after the last 2 weeks you can't figure that out, but it's not working. It's not working the way it needs to. There's a lot of injuries, so now it's really not going to look like it's working. And Vegas, in spite of them trying to actively beat themselves every single week, I think cares more. I think they care enough, and you're going to get Hunter Renfro potentially back. You're potentially going to have Darren Waller out there. How healthy anyone is, I don't know. But I just think Vegas has to come out, and they have to win a game and
stop look like they're playing two-hand touch all the time.
All right. Cincinnati at Tampa Bay. You finally convinced me that Tom Brady aside, this Tampa Bay is just not a functional team right now. So I'll go with Cincinnati 30 over Tampa Bay 20.
I know y'all thought I was nuts for saying Brock Purdy was going to win that game. And everyone else in my life thought that too. But here we are. Brock Purdy forever. We might get blue a kitten-sized Brock Purdy jersey. But, yeah, I think Tampa Bay's got a whole... Tampa Bay's got a whole mess load of problems, and they start with Tom Brady, but they don't end there. Cincinnati is back to their Joe Cool routine. You got Ja'Marr Chase, you got Joe Mixon, everyone's there. It's not going to... Cincinnati's going to win 30-21, and it won't feel that close. Like, at no point is this going to feel like Tampa's in danger of winning this game.
Okay. Last late game is one that I think will actually be one of the more interesting games of the day, and that's the Chargers at Tennessee. I think both teams are going to find a way to move the ball on offense and score, so I think this will be one of the higher scoring games of the day. I'll give it to the hometown Chargers on a late field goal, 30-27.
Yeah, I really, really went back and forth on this. I wanted to go with Tennessee, but the injuries piling up is kind of a problem. Not sure who can catch the football. That's going to be a lot tougher to beat a Chargers defense. So I'm taking Los Angeles 24-20, but I truly believe it could go either way.
Okay, the Sunday night game flexed in the hometown Commanders against the Giants.
Yeah.
Hopefully this game will not end in a tie. Unfortunately, I think it will end up with Washington scoring more points than the Giants. The two teams seem to be trending in opposite directions, so I'll go with the hotter team, Commanders 27, Giants 21.
I'm taking the Commanders 28-23, and I actually originally, when I did all my prep, did pick the Giants, just so you know, but I think Chase Young being back on the defense is going to be a bigger difference maker, and they clearly know what they need to do to beat each other. Not that either team did that last week, but they know each other a little better. I think Washington just has a little edge in the health department, and I think that's going to be the difference.
Okay, and then last and least, we've got the Packers. Actually, I shouldn't say that. If this were the Carolina-Pittsburgh game, I would say last and least. But Green Bay hosting the Rams is a close second in the last and least department for this week. I know Green Bay's had a really disappointing season, but Christian Watson has shown some signs of life as a potential lead dog there. I think Aaron Rodgers, after the week off, will be healthy-ish, and I'll go with – I'm just not drinking the Baker Mayfield Kool-Aid there. I think he's going to come back to earth, and the Packers defense will really unleash on him. I'll go with Packers 28, Rams 17.
I am going to continue to drink the Baker Mayfield Kool-Aid. This man has nothing to lose, literally nothing. He booked the plane ticket before he was officially even claimed on waivers. Like, he was, I'm getting the hell out of this town. The team has rallied around him. This idiot's headbutting people with just his head, and they're wearing helmets. I mean, whatever brand of crazy he has brought into the locker room, and, like, the energy seems to work for everybody. I don't know. It just seems like it's crazy enough to work, and I think they're going to win 27-23. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be very pissed off. But he's still hurt. The whole offense still doesn't work correctly. Hopefully Christian Watson does some great things, but there is still a defense on the side of the football he's got to face that is a little more formidable. So I think he's going to have a tougher time. I think the Rams are going to steal one here.
We shall see.
Yeah. So... ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. All of our arguments out there, for the most part. Before we let you go, a couple of DFS, daily fantasy options for you, because maybe your team's out of the playoffs, maybe you just need a thrill and you're tired of looking at the same guys on your bench all week long. You want to dip a toe in the water. You know which guys you want to spend the money on. So here are value picks that'll get you good points that you don't have to break the bank for, so you can go spend up. At quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. Andy Dalton. I know we don't love recommending the Ginger Ninja, but the price is right, and he's going to put points up on that defense. Mike White also, as long as he's still, you know, upright and kind of breathing, go ahead and start him in there. Price is definitely right. At running back, Isaiah Pacheco is going to have a ton of opportunities. Jamal Williams is going to bounce back after a tougher defense of last week. Latavius Murray is almost the only healthy human on that whole Denver roster, so I would say might be a good option. And Donovan Knight in New York for the Jets. Fun name to say, fun guy to watch, working so far. At wide receiver, I've got another New York Jet, Garrett Wilson. Zay Jones, who we talked a lot about earlier during the waiver wire portion, at the price he is, it's silly to even think about not starting him. DJ Chark, and on the flip side of that, Jameson Williams, all good options there, as well as Chris Moore in Houston and Nelson Aguilar, as we talked about earlier as well. Tight end-wise, Tyler Conklin, again, one of the guys we're singing the praises of, Gerald Everett and Greg Dulcich, all pretty good matchups. Probably Conklin's the one I like the most out of the three, but you can't go wrong there. And defense-wise, the Broncos, the Cardinals, and the Steelers, all going to get you some points and not break the bank for you. So we have given you straight-up game picks, who to start, who to sit, all of your injury news, who to pick up on the waiver wire, your daily fantasy options, and, of course, all of the upbeat comedy and things you get with us, because how could you miss that? We will be back.
I miss the comedy.
I know. We got to work on that. And San Antonio Holmes isn't around.
If he is, I'll have to hook him up with Mac Jones White.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Is it hyphen? Is it all just one word? We'll have to work it out. We'll be back with you next Wednesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern time, as we are every week, giving you all the tools and knowledge to guide your team to victory. So be sure to check us out everywhere you find your favorite podcast. Next week, live at 8 or all over social media. You can always find us over the platforms or email us at the number 4thninchesshow@gmail.com. So thank you so much for listening. Good luck, everyone, unless, of course, you're playing else.